So we switched up a bit for this week, and we're going to do a Christmas sermon. And a lot of times during Christmas time, we hear of the Christmas dream, right? Or Christmas hopes and Christmas expectations. Well, today we're going to be looking at a Christmas dream, a dream that was dreamed by Joseph. We're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. Stepmom is a film about the difficult and strained relationship between a new stepmother and her husband's ex-wife. Both must learn to deal with and accept one another in their new roles, especially as they both attempt to raise the ex-wife's two young children. In one Christmas scene, which poignantly portrays the longing that humans have for life after death, 8-year-old Benjamin enters the bedroom of his mother, Susan Sarandon, who is dying of cancer. He is excited as she gives him his Christmas present, a magician's cape, with photographs of the two of them embedded on it. Benjamin sits in front of her and asks, "Are you dying?" His mother pauses for a moment and then asks, "What do you think?" Sadly, Benjamin responds, "Yes, and I won't see you anymore." She tells him, "Well, you won't see my body, but you know, when a caterpillar becomes something else," Benjamin nods, "Yes, a butterfly." She continues, "Yeah, you just have to think of me as flying off somewhere." And of course, a magician knows that just because you do not see something, that does not mean it is not there. She makes a coin appear from his ear, and they both laugh. Benjamin asks where she will be. She takes his hand and kisses it and places it in front of his heart and says, "Right there." "Can I talk to you when you're there?" "Always, always. You won't hear my voice, but deep inside you'll know what I'm saying." Benjamin looks up at her in disappointment and says, "It's not good enough." "No, of course it's not," she says, "because we want everything. We want all those things, the greatest things, and we want to keep them forever." She said, "But do you know what is forever? Our dreams." Benjamin smiles and she says, "We can still meet each other in our dreams. We can go for walks and talks together in the summer, in the rain, and in the sun. I can pick you up and we can fly off together." Dreams are a part of the fabric of our life. And many times our dreams as we sleep reflect those dreams that we have for our waking hours. Dreams, especially during Christmas time, are the hopes and expectations, and all of these things run high during this time of year. Dreams of a perfect Christmas, dreams of all being together forever, each one of us, with those that we love, never ever parting ways. However, those dreams come crashing down when they meet the sinful reality of our lives. Sin is a dream killer, and all that we do in dream is tainted by this fact. Here in this illustration, we see one of man's greatest dreams or longings, life after death, a life in which we can never again be separated from those we love, a dream that we long for even more during this time of year. Here in this passage, Joseph has the first Christmas dream. And in this dream, dreams such as the one in our illustration can come true. I see three aspects of this dream that we're going to be looking at today. The first aspect, it is a dream conceived by God, verses 18 through 20. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. He's an author, and he talks about this whole idea of the virgin birth, this whole idea of the incarnation of God. And he says, who would have had sufficient daring imagination to conceive of this plan? That God Almighty would have appeared among men as a little child. We should have conceived something sensational, phenomenal, catastrophic, or even appalling. The most awful of the natural elements would have formed his retinue, and men would be chilled and frozen with fear. But he came as a little child. The great God emptied himself. We often get challenged during this time of year. See, we read this passage and we take it for granted. We read it and we believe it. We're like, oh yeah, this is how it happened. But can you imagine if you were in Joseph's position? And can you imagine what people who are out there who do not believe in this think about this story? They think it is a dream. They think that it is a myth. They believe that man came up with this idea. But Matthew begins this passage by stating a fact. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. The whole idea, the way in which God intended to take care of our dream killer, began right here. This was not man's doing, but God's. This was a dream, an idea, a plan conceived and originated by God. This was a plan in which God became man, conceived. Jesus Christ was conceived in Mary by the Holy Spirit. This was God's doing. And Matthew says that this is exactly how it happened. This is how it all went down, folks. He's relating a fact. He's not making up a story. He's not trying to make us all feel good and put a warm idea in our hearts so that if we think about that, we're going to feel better about life. He says, this is how it all went down. And sometimes we're hard on Joseph, but how else would we have responded? For all Joseph knew, so this is how natural man respond, how a man who can't even imagine such a thing responds. He's like, I don't want any part of this. Why? Because for thousands of years, how were children born? One way, folks. And this changes all of that. Mary was with a child, and this child was conceived of the Holy Spirit. This was all God's doing. We know that Mary had a visitation from an angel prior to this. And the angel said to her, you will be with child. And she had a similar question. How's that possible? I'm a virgin. And he says, the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And this child will be a holy child. And you will call him, and he will be the Son of God. God needed to conceive of this plan because he knew exactly what needed to be done, and the way in which our problem is solved begins with God overshadowing Mary and forming Jesus Christ in her womb. The second person of the Trinity taking on the form of man to fix our nightmare of sin. This is where it all begins. And people question the virgin birth all the time. They think it's a myth. They think it is fantasy. They think it is nothing but a dream that we made up. But the virgin birth is crucial to our belief. God knew what needed to be done. God could not be born of man because Adam has indwelling sin. And God needed to become man in order to provide the cure for that sin. And here we have the answer to that dilemma. Jesus was born of the Holy Spirit, conceived in a woman, both God and man, untainted by the sin of Adam. But of course, that plan is not in line with our thinking. The virgin birth is a miracle. That's exactly what it is. That is exactly what we needed in our situation that we find ourselves. We find ourselves in a place where we cannot help ourselves, and God enters into our nightmare of sin, providing Jesus Christ. In this dream, Joseph is told by an angel the phrase that is often associated with this event. What is that phrase? Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. That phrase was said to Mary when she saw the angel. That phrase was said to the shepherds when they saw the angel. That phrase is realized in the person of Jesus Christ. This is a dream in which we need not fear. This is a dream that God has for man in which we are afraid no longer, and a dream that will put an end to all of our nightmares. Here we see that God did not leave us in darkness. He did not leave us in our sin, but he came up with a plan to fix it. God became flesh. He became just like you and I, entering into our dark nights, entering into the struggles, our hurts, and our pains, starting out as you and I did and experiencing all that we experience, casting aside his glory and taking on our humanity, a dream conceived by God himself. This is the hope and the message that we have of Christmas. But Joseph needed to believe in this truth. Joseph had to act on this dream. And now we see the beginning of a very interesting story for all of us. The second aspect that I see here is that it is a dream of a real hero. Verse 21. So the angel continues and she says to Joseph exactly how this came about, letting him know that this was all God's doing, that Mary is with child because of the Holy Spirit. And then the angel says, she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. It's hot in these sweaters. Very hot right now. If your name was Superman, would you expect to get picked on? Probably not. I want to thank Adair for taking the time to draw this sketch of me. It took me a while to pose that. She did a really good job, though. I think she got the chest correct. Swedish tax authorities thought that you would get picked on and therefore declined a request by Sarah Lyson to name her newborn son after Superman. The officials were following legislation, giving them the veto power over names. So they nixed the name Stallman, which is Superman in Swedish, I suppose, citing its potential to attract ridicule later on in life. The decision prompted many complaints of inconsistency in applying the law. Why? Because other parents were able to name their children after certain heroes. Some have been named Batman. Some have even been named Tarzan. Can you imagine? So why did the boy's parents want to name him Superman? Well, it was the way he was born. He was born like this, with his arm out in the air, like in a flying position, so they thought Superman would be an appropriate name. Lysen plans to reapply, this time with the name Stalaminen, which means the Superman. If it is approved, one thing is clear, the little Superman would have a name he can never live up to. We're fascinated, and you know I'm fascinated with superheroes. I almost had an Avenger Christmas sweater. We're fascinated with superheroes, are we not? I mean, we look at the movies that are so popular out there today, and who are they about? Heroes. But I'm actually glad about this. And the reason why I'm glad, because those movies are incredible, most of them, but I'm glad because I think this reveals something about our deep understanding for a need for a Savior. We're so fascinated with superheroes, we're naming our children after them. And that is part of the problem. We have this understanding, or we sense something is wrong and that we have a need to be saved, but we believe that that will come from man. We believe that we are the heroes. You ever have dreams about being a superhero? How many people have dreams about being a superhero? Come on. Yeah, there you go. Wayne saw that right there. Thanks, Wayne. I always have dreams about being a superhero, right? I'm like flying. I don't know if I've ever dreamt about being invisible, but some people do. I've known some people do. I don't know why, because I think I want people to see me. So I'm flying around, right? And there I am flying, and I'm swooping people up and saving them from danger. One of my other favorite dreams is when I'm dressed like some sort of super ninja Spider-Man, whatever it is. And I break into buildings and I save people, and then all of a sudden, what do? I take off my mask and they're like, "Oh, Mark, we're so glad you came to save us. Thank you." And I feel so good, and then the alarm goes off. And I meet the harsh reality when I wake up and feel the aches and pains in my back and have trouble just putting on my Spider-Man socks. Once again, feeling the effects of our fallen nature. And as the day progresses, I realize something. I realize that I am super at something. I'm super at sinning. That is one of my strongest powers some days. Sinning, sinning, and sinning some more. We are not superheroes. We are sometimes super sinners. Every single one of us. We're all pretty good at it. And this is why we cannot save ourselves. We are the ones in need of saving. This dream is a dream of a real hero who will save us from our sins. And his name is not Superman, Spider-Man, or Batman. His name is Jesus. And believe me, he lives up to that name. Joseph does not get the opportunity to choose the name of this child, but he does get the opportunity to be obedient, to have faith, and believe what the angel is telling him. The child's name, Jesus, reflects his purpose in life. Jesus was born to save us from our sins, plain and simple, nothing else, nobody else, but Jesus Christ alone. Jesus does not become a hero through some weird experiment or super training. Jesus is a hero that this world desperately needs. And Jesus is a hero that does not save only our bodies, but our souls. Jesus is a hero who doesn't just save us for one day, but for all eternity. And you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. He's not a hero, and this salvation is not from a burning building. This salvation is from an eternity of fire. This salvation is not from others who are trying to harm us, this salvation is from ourselves and the harm that we have inflicted upon our own souls due to sin. This salvation does not just bring us safely to the other side of the river where our friends and family long to meet us, but it crosses that gap between God and man. And once you and I are saved by this hero, we do not need to be rescued again and again. We can be sure that he will deliver us to safety. Just as he says in Hebrews, Just as it says in Hebrews, he is able to save to the uttermost. He is able to save completely those who come to God through him. He is constantly there for us. As one commentator puts it, those who have Jesus have in him a Savior whose saving power is available without end, not liable to the mischances of mortal life. He lives eternally, eternally engaged to bless and protect those who have committed themselves to him. The question is, have you reached out your hand to be saved by Jesus Christ? Because he is the only one who can do it. And once we reach our hand out to him, this is a hero who will not let us go. And this is a hero who will hold on to us and never let anyone, including our arch enemy Satan, loosen his grip. You will call him Jesus. It's as if it's a done deal. For he will save his people from their sins. And all who call upon this name will surely be saved. That is the Christmas dream. That is the end to our nightmare of sin. His name is Jesus Christ. And he is a real hero. Because this baby Jesus doesn't stay a baby. He grows up. There's a scene from the movie Talladega Nights, and I do not recommend anyone seeing that movie. I have not seen that movie, but this illustration makes sense here, so I'm going to use it. At the dinner table with his family, Ricky Bobby prays. Who does he pray to? He prays to the Lord baby Jesus. He prays to tiny infant Jesus, to 8-pound, 6-ounce newborn infant Jesus. He can't even finish his prayer before his wife chimes in. Hey, you know something? Jesus did grow up. Ricky responds and says, I like the Christmas Jesus the best, you know? And I'm saying grace. When you say grace, you can say it to any Jesus you want to. You can say it to baby Jesus, teenage Jesus, or adult Jesus. I like the Christmas Jesus. Author comments on this, and he says, to preach the Christmas Jesus is to preach the crucified Jesus. Although humorous, it's regrettable how many people, and even sometimes Christians, share Ricky Bobby's view this time of year. Yes, we should be celebrating Jesus' miraculous birth during Christmas time, but here's the problem. Ricky Bobby's wife is right. Jesus grows up. And the story just starts right here. He was born for a mission. He was born to be a real hero. He was born to save us. And he does not save us by some weird superpower or by flying us away from danger. He saves us by offering his life for ours. He saves us by taking on the very thing that is killing us, our sin. He is the true hero that we all need. And that is part of the Christmas dream. The third aspect of this dream is it a dream? It is a dream in which we are not alone, verses 22 through 23. Now, all of this, and I believe some Bibles may lead you to believe that the angel is not speaking here, and I believe that the angel is still speaking here. Now, all of this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. There's a British medical doctor by the name of Ishanika Parasha, and he shared a story about his interaction with an 82-year-old hospital patient named Doris. 2 days before Christmas, Doris seemed healthy and ready for discharge. But for some reason, she kept complaining about inexplicable health issues. The doctor comments on this, and he writes this. Yesterday, it was her arm that was hurting. Before, it was her hip. The truth is, Doris is an incredibly healthy 82-year-old, and we cannot find anything wrong with her. I have no doubt that it will be the same today. When the x-rays came back normal, he told Doris that he would have to stick to the plan of sending her home for Christmas. Doris, at that point, looked down at the floor and quietly said, "I don't want to go home. It's just that I'm all alone, and there are so many hours in the day." Then after a long pause, she sighed and asked, "Doctor, can you give me a cure for loneliness?" The doctor reflected on this incident and says this, "Doris is alone, and it brings home the truth of this epidemic that we have on our hands. It's an epidemic of loneliness. The most difficult part is that I don't know how to solve it, although I wish I could. For now, I simply retract my diagnosis. Sheepishly, I insist that she spends Christmas this year on the ward, and I can see her mood lift. But as I steel myself for the inevitable influx of unwanted grandparents whom I know will arrive, I cannot help but wonder how it is that things have gone so badly wrong." Loneliness is an epidemic, especially during this time of year. It is a sign that things have gone badly wrong, once again, a result of sin. It is a terrible feeling, is it not, when we have those dreams and we're what? All alone. I hate those dreams where nobody is around and we feel all alone. It is even worse when that loneliness becomes a reality in our lives. Fear and anxiety set in, and we are or feel alone. In this Christmas dream, we are promised a presence that will deal a final blow to that loneliness. Here we see that this promised presence was promised to us long ago. It was God's plan all the while, that he planned not to watch from afar, not to distance himself from us, but to enter into our nightmare and to be with us here on earth during that time and for all eternity for everyone who trusts in that presence. God has come to earth, is born of a virgin, has entered into space and time to be with those he will save. I get upset sometimes that when I hear unbelievers talk about how God has left us, what? Alone. Has left us in the mess that we find ourselves in. Has left us to deal with all of these nightmares that we experience. That's not the case at all. That's what Christmas is all about. Christmas is about God reaching into our lives. Christmas is about God not leaving us alone and being with us in the person of Jesus Christ, letting us know that there is one who has seen our pain and suffering, and he was the one who was abandoned by those he loved. But there is someone who wants to be with them, someone who wants to be with us, not just for a certain time of year, but one who wants to be with us for all eternity, one who accepts us as we are and loving us no matter what, one who came and did not remain afar as we suffered in our nightmare, but one who came to be with us. Emmanuel, God with us, in the person of Jesus Christ. And for those who reach their hands out to him and who are saved by him, a presence that will be with us, not just this time of year, but for all eternity. That's a Christmas dream. That is a blessing. Never again will we ever be alone. His presence will be with us through thick and through thin. His presence is there to guide us in the darkest of nights. His presence will comfort us in the most fearful of times. His presence will remind us that this world is not our home, and this is only the beginning of our dreams. His presence will understand us when nobody else will. His presence is a promise never to leave us or forsake us. For he will be with us for all eternity. And his presence is fully realized when we reach that final destination. Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will live with them. They will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, no more mourning, no more crying or pain, for the former things have passed away. That is the end result for all of those who believe in the presence during Christmas. The presence of God in the person of Jesus Christ, the only one who can save us from our sin and misery. Death, mourning, crying, and pain, all of that pass away. As we celebrate Christmas, we sometimes focus way too much on the presents. You knew that was coming, and not the presents. To Israel, who heard this blessing, it is unimaginable that this presence was longed for and waited for, but never thought to be found in a babe. And this is still the problem that we have today. People don't believe that Jesus was God. There's no question as to what is being said here regarding where God's presence is to be found. It is to be found in the person of Jesus Christ. God with us in a way that we could never have imagined. And for those who believe in this truth, they can experience this presence in the deepest and loneliness of places. I had a dream once, and it was during Christmas time. And this dream was of my rabbit, Fuzzy. It was during Christmas time, because I remember part of this dream was I was wondering what to get Sarah for Christmas, and I had these candy canes in my hand. And Fuzzy spoke to me in my dream. Fuzzy said, "I think she's going to like the candy canes." He didn't move his lips, because rabbits don't have lips. They have these little lips, so he had to speak through his teeth. And I said, "Okay, thanks, Fuzzy." And then I woke up from my dream, and I laughed about that dream, and I was telling Sarah about that dream. It was over a year ago. I dreamed about Fuzzy because I loved him. Fuzzy was the first real animal that I ever had. I grew up in a house where we didn't have a lot of animals. I had a parrot and a hermit crab, and hermit crabs are not very cuddly. As a matter of fact, they hurt very much. So I bonded with Fuzzy very quickly. Fuzzy was like a dog to us. He just would run around, and he'd let you pet him and hug on him and everything. And we loved Fuzzy so much, we just considered him part of our family. As a matter of fact, this year we brought him a little rabbit stocking, and there it hangs on our faux fireplace. However, the nightmare of sin has crashed that Christmas dream. This past week, I had to take Fuzzy to the vet, and I had to put Fuzzy down. And there I was, a 44-year-old grown man, crying at the vet office. And as I left the vet office, I saw someone I knew, and I was still crying at that. And as I'm in the vet office, and I'm crying over this animal, I told the doctor, and he's trying to console me, and I said, you know, this is the second animal I lost during Christmas. The Christmas before, it was a gerbil, or a hamster. Was it a hamster? Hamster, thank you. We weren't as attached to the hamster as we were to Fuzzy. I don't even remember. Reep-a-cheep was his name. And as this guy's consoling me in the doctor's office, I said to him, you know what? I said, I'm thankful that it happened during Christmas time, because it reminds me that there was a birth to put an end to death. I don't know if I'm going to see Fuzzy again. I have my theories. I don't know if they're true or not. However, I can't imagine if that were a person that I loved. I can't imagine just hoping to see that person in my dreams. Folks, the dream of Christmas became a reality in the birth of Jesus Christ. All of those hopes and dreams, spending eternity with each other, is a reality if we believe. That is the dream of Christmas that we are to believe in. It's not about Santa Claus. It's not about sugar plums. It's not about fairies or anything like that. It's about the birth of a child, born of a virgin, who came for one purpose, to save us from sin, God with us, so that we can be with each other and with Him for all eternity. Now that is a reason for a very merry Christmas. Father, thank you for Jesus Christ and all that He has done for us. We love you and we praise you, and I am thankful that those who have believed in this dream, I will spend eternity with them forever and in your presence, where all of those nightmares are gone away. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.